Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleep all day.
It is Monday with Michael Savage. And of course, the circus is in town. And here she comes, Grandma, Grandma Hillary. Let's hope that O'Malley doesn't go jogging in Marcy Park. Yes, indeedy. Just what the nation needed is another 8 years of Clinton. We didn't have 8 years. That wasn't enough. Didn't have enough 8 years of Bush. We need Jeb. We need her like a hole in the head. So I put together for you today 20 questions the media has not asked Hillary. 20 questions the useless sycophants in the media will not ask Hillary. That includes the great geniuses, you know. Let's say, who's the top of the heap? Who would you say is the intellectual giant in the media? Let's see, which one? Let's pick the top five geniuses. Who are they? Here's 20 questions none of these idiots will ask her. They're stooges, they're shills, they may as well be government jesters. That's all. Every other day, they're geniuses in their own mind. I'm going to give you 20 questions the media won't ask Hillary. That's all. That's to start with. And we're continuing the shtick that I started last week. People stop me in the street and say, Mike, I really love it when you guys hit the bell when you say the word Obama. I got away with it once. I'm allowed to say it once today. I told him I can say it once. But if I repeat his name again, I get the bell. Because it's a conditioned response never to use his name. The president of no name is what we're going to say. The no-name president. Obama's like a kid in the president is like a kid. You remember the bumper cars when you were a kid? I was thinking about that driving to work today. How I used to love the bumper cars, and I haven't been on one in so many years. I love bumper cars. Unfortunately, today, with all the drugs and the illegal aliens driving on the roads, it's sort of like driving with bumper cars here in the Bay Area of San Francisco. But the president reminds me of a kid in the bumper cars who goes backwards and comes at you head on. Remember that kid? There were always kids who knew how to play the bumper car game. You all went in the same order, but you banged into each other, you cut each other off. That was understood. Those were the rules of the road. This guy is like the one who turned around and came right at you head on and goes, "Wee!" The whole world, bump Israel, bump Saudi Arabia, bump Egypt, bump the Republicans, bump the American people, bump the Tea Party, bump white males, bump cops. See it? Everywhere you turn, there he is like an out-of-control madman in the bumper car. And over the weekend, there was a real whopper of a misquote by the genius. Another, why does he pose as an intellectual giant? What is he, the smartest man on earth? At least if he was that smart, he would get his quotes right. He quoted one of my favorites, Ralph Waldo Emerson, to attack Republicans, but he got the quote half right, very much along the lines of Shakespeare's Half-Wit. Listen to this thing on Emerson.
And that has proven to be highly effective, even by the assessments of critics of the policy like the Israelis. They've said, yeah, this actually has worked. Iran's abided by the agreement. They're suggesting, why don't we just stay here? It's worked so well.
What?
Despite the fact that they've made almost the precise same argument they're making now about the final deal. But,
what?
You know, consistency is the hobgoblin of narrow minds.
First of all, you got the quote wrong. I'm sure you didn't take literature at Columbia, but the actual Emerson quote, of which I'm an expert, is this, Mr. President. It's not consistency is the hobgoblin of whatever. What did he just say? What was his quote? I don't remember what he said, but he got it wrong. The key word is, it's a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. That's the actual quote of Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you leave out the word foolish, well, better a witty fool than a foolish wit, as Shakespeare said. He got that one wrong. And secondly, I don't know when Israel said that the deal with Iran was good, since the Ayatollah Shmanola, he doesn't know the Ayatollah from Shinola, as far as I can tell, because the Ayatollah said that they got the best of the Americans. When did the Israelis say they loved the deal? Over the weekend we read, the enemy has conceded to our nuclear red line, says Iran. Shinola there in Iran said that the enemy, that's us, has conceded to our nuclear red lines. That's the chief Shinola there with the shoe polish rag on his head. How is it that we could have respect for theocrats who are living in the ninth century? Why are they not ridiculed in this country? Tell me why. Why? Tell me why. Tell me why. I read that Saudi Arabia has cut out people visiting Mecca. That was pretty shocking. That they don't want him traveling to Mecca. There's been a few incidents of Iranians getting beaten up by other Muslims in Saudi Arabia. And there's another couple. Who knows the reasons, but they're not letting him go into Mecca. What? It's just on time for my novel, Countdown to Mecca. Under the threat of the Third World War, nothing matters except the mission. It's a good book. I'll read from it later. But at this time, I want to begin with 20 questions. Well, we're waiting for Rubio to get off the ice cream truck. I know he's selling ice cream right now in the streets of Miami. And any minute, he'll be getting off the ice cream truck and stop ringing his bell and tell us he's going to be the president. Another great genius. Now we need. Where did this guy come from? How did this happen? How could a man who has no background whatsoever be president after we've seen what a man with no background whatsoever has done to the world with no background whatsoever over the last number of years? Where's Rubio come from? I see he's got a vowel at the end of his name and he's Cuban. Well, that's really important to the Republican Party. They're really with it. You know, they're right on the money. They really know what's going on. Yes, indeedy. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Now, that applies to the RNC, that's for sure. Emerson would have had that one right with regard to Rebian Prisus, or whatever his name is. Rebian Prius. Whoever. How does a guy have a name like that? He should have had a name change to run the Republican Party. No one knows how to pronounce it. Rebian Prebius. Rebian Prius. I don't like to make fun of names, but I could never. Where did he come from? Just take a look at him and you know he can't run the party right. By the way, here's a little note for those of you who hate me. On I'm on 250 stations, and some of the biggest in the country. And one of the stations I'm on is in Washington, D.C., WMAL. Do you know that I found out that I have a 4.5 share of the audience? You know how big that is in talk radio? I'm talking about that's competing with rap music. That's competing with oldies, newies, sports, entertainment, and other talkers. I have a 4.5 share in the heart of America's politics. Why? So that means even the Democrats are listening to me. They wouldn't consider me the loyal opposition because to a Democrat, there should be no opposition. There is no Democrat Party anymore. What we have is a socialist dictatorship, a fascist socialist dictatorship that is craving a one-party system, which is why their leader is flooding America with as many illegal voters as he possibly can get before the election. Did you know that? And you've got to stop it, by the way. Write it down. Michael Savage, 4.5 share on WMAL. I don't know anyone else in talk radio who beats that in a day part. No. So here are 20 questions the useless media won't ask Hillary. It was burning me up over the weekend. I was listening to make her announcement. No, before I do that, let's start with her big announcement and listen to the idiocy of this woman. Of why she should be president. I've never heard anything like, you know what? We don't deserve a country. If this is what she thinks is going to make her president, we don't deserve a nation. Listen to clip two.
I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead. Because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote.
What difference does it make?
Because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
I wouldn't buy toothpaste from this woman. I wouldn't buy dental floss from her. You know, we don't deserve a nation. If she thinks we're this stupid, which obviously she does, and she thinks that's going to capture the imagination of America today, do we deserve a nation, I'm asking you? Do we deserve a nation that would let a woman like this raise $2 billion? I'll say it again. The estimates are she needs $1.5 to $2 billion to run saccharine ads like this to convince you, the idiot, that she's qualified to run the country. But, you know, there are a number of questions that need to be asked that nobody in the media, Charlie Rose, I think, right, I'm trying to think, who are the top intellectual geniuses in America? Let's see, Charlie Rose, what would he ask her? Nothing. Probably ask her who made her pantsuits. Then there's Robert Friedman, who speaks more like a slave than a freeman at the New York Times, who was nothing but a fraternity boy for the Obama administration. Sorry, I said the Obama word. I can't help it. It's happening over and over again. Consistency is not the hobgoblin of little minds. Consistency is the hobgoblin of talk show hosts. But a foolish consistency would be the hobgoblin of little talk show hosts. Better a witty fool than a foolish wit. 855-407-2822. Now, since we're going to ask Hillary questions, 20 questions the useless media will not ask Hillary Clinton. The first question, I was on my bicycle this weekend, of what I would ask her if I was able to. Number one, what would you do to root out the Islamic terrorist sleeper cells in the United States identified by the FBI? Number one, I'm sitting here like in Brobdingnag, another literary reference. Pardon me, it's my background. I'm sitting here as though I'm in Brobdingnag. And all of these fools are running for office and no one's asking the first question. That includes Cruz. It includes the other guy whose name I forgot already. Who's the other one? I don't know. Who's the one on the Republican side? There was Ted Cruz. Rand Paul. I know. I forgot his name immediately. The only, when you say Rand Paul, I think of the Joe and Paul ad from the from New York City when I would, before I was born, the Joe and Paul ad for suits. The only reason I remember Ted Cruz is because his name matches that of a Cuban singer like Celia Cruz. It's the only reason I remember his name, because Celia Cruz was a good singer. I never saw anything like this. Where do these people come from? I might vote for Walker if he would announce and run. My number one candidate in the Republican side, so you don't think I'm all negative, is Senator Cotton. I want him to run and I want him to win. I want a war veteran to be president. I want a real veteran who fired a real gun. That's who I want for president. And then I want the woman who was a veteran who actually fired a gun, whose husband is an A-10 pilot. There's my ideal ticket. Cotton for president and the woman for vice president, who understand what the Islamic murderers are up to and what they're liable to do to us unless they're curtailed. That's all. Next case. It's Monday. It's the Savage Nation. When I come back, I invite you to call the show at 800. No, is it 800? I don't have the number. Put the number up. I forgot it. It's not an 800 number. It's 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. And remember, if you get through my genius call screener, you will speak to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life, which is really awesome. It really is. And when I come back, I will read 20 questions the useless media will not ask Hillary right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Before I read the 20 questions the useless media won't ask Hillary here, I have to mention that the Leninist Pope did it again. Again, Pope Francis appeals to America's summit for better distribution of riches. In a message addressed to the president of Panama, Juan Carlos Varela, Pope Francis urged leaders attending the OAS America summit to strengthen efforts against inequality. Now, you'll notice the message is the same as that of de Blasio, Hillary Clinton, the entire Democrat Party. They're all on the same number here. They're singing the same tune about inequality. So this is what Pope said. The Argentinian pontiff said, inequality, the unfair distribution of riches and resources, is a source of conflict and violence among peoples because it involves the progress of some to be built on the necessary sacrifice of others and to live with dignity to have to fight against the rest, blah, blah, blah. How is it that worldwide communism is opening its jaws right in front of us, about to swallow us all, unless you just say, you know what, why don't you begin, Mr. Pope, by selling off some of the art in the Vatican? See, that's another question no one will ask him. Okay, you're in. Okay, fine. You really believe in income inequality? Great. Why don't you sell off some of the great art in the Sistine Chapel? In fact, I'll make an offer right now of $1 million on the line for Rembrandt to show you how smart I am. $1 million on the table for Rembrandt. Yeah, probably have 1,000 of them in the vault somewhere, you know. Unbelievable. They talk out of two sides of their mouth. Income inequality, income inequality. I work 7 days a week. I pay about 60% of my income in taxes to the bums, and I'm sick of it. They're living off me. They're sucking me dry. What do they want it to be, 120%? Who's going to produce anything? See, a guy like me keeps working because I have a work ethic and I believe in myself and I think my message is important. But let me tell you something. If these communist bums keep this up, guys like me just stop working. There'll be nothing to eat. You'll be eating dirt. You'll be eating mud. We'll be like a third world hellhole when you tax the rich to death and they don't want to work anymore. I don't receive my income like Warren Buffett does with 33, you know, Dutch tax dodges. He always complains. Let him pay their fair share. Why doesn't he begin with himself? Obama's number one loudmouth there, Warren Buffett. Oh, yeah, right. He pays 15%. Let him pay straight up income tax at 39%. Then he can get back to me with his lecture. Then he had California state income tax, 15% for top earners. For Jerry Brown to build fake railroads and to flood America, flood California with illegal aliens to suck us dry like locusts. You know, you talk about the drought. I want to show you what liars and thieves they are running everything. You pay attention to me because I know what I'm talking about. These liars and crooked communists tell us that the drought's about to wipe California out, okay? Okay, we have a drought. It's bad. So what's the first thing I would do? Limit population, cut off all immigration. That was the watchword of all the leftists in the 60s. Zero population growth. Tie your tubes. Get an abortion. Just cut them off at the border. Deport them. The state can't carry. Remember the word carrying capacity in the 60s by the frauds? The left-wing frauds? Oh, carrying capacity. And a nice one that was. Another conference call. Well, the state doesn't have the carrying capacity of water. So what are you bringing in millions of illegal aliens from Mexico for? Stop it. Put the guard, National Guard, on the border. Deport the illegal aliens. And number two, stop the marijuana growing in Northern California. They're sucking the water table dry. Did you know marijuana sucks more water than most other plants? You know that 90% of the streams in Northern California are being affected by this? Some of them have been drained dry. Stop the marijuana growing. Deport the illegal aliens. That is a good way to stop the worry about the drought in California.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it.
All right, you got the picture. So there's the three faces of Hillary that we know of. And now the new one they're selling is a kindly grandmother who wants to take money from the rich and give it to the poor. She's the Robinette Hood. What's interesting, though, is she's attacking the 1%, but the last I've seen, that's where she gets her money from, are the 1%. I haven't seen money coming in from the homeless of you. I think most of the money comes from those who are in the 0.00001% bracket. Bill's friends are the ones giving the money, and basically terror states. But now she's the nice one, and the TV ad shows her with gay couples, and like that's the most important thing on earth, is the happy gay couple. And she's hitting the road to earn a vote. Hasn't driven a car in 20 years, but she's one of us, a pancake woman. Well, I can look at it. The pantsuits, I don't want to go into the weight thing. That's not fair. Because time and gravity is unfair to all of us. So let's put that aside. Let's not talk about her looks. But her looks alone can sink the campaign. From the neck up, forget about the neck down. We're not going to ridicule her. It happens to all, but then the head up. I'm telling you, do you want to look at that for 8 years? Do you really want to have that face staring at you for 8 straight years? That frightening face? At least Rubio's fresh-faced. And I kiddingly call him the ice cream man, but at least, okay, who hates an ice cream man? Nobody. Maybe we need an ice cream man running America. I don't know what he has going for him other than the fact that he's got a fresh face and his name ends in a vowel. So as promised, 20 questions the useless media will not ask Hillary. One, Mrs. Clinton, what would you do to root out the Islamic terrorist sleeper cells in the United States stated by the FBI to be in 49 states? Answer the question, please. Two, Mrs. Clinton, why do you want to be president? Three, Mrs. Clinton, can you name one solid accomplishment during your tenure as Secretary of State? Four, Mrs. Clinton, what were you doing the night the embassy was attacked in Benghazi? Mrs. Clinton, why did you blame a video when you knew what really happened? Mrs. Clinton, did you advise the president to send help? Why didn't he? Or was it you who said don't send help? Who was it who fired the generals after Benghazi? Who ordered the purging of our generals after Benghazi? Mrs. Clinton, can you tell the American people where the president was during the attack? Was he really in the war room? Mrs. Clinton, what files were taken from Vince Foster's office? Mrs. Clinton, what were on the emails that you refused to turn over? Mrs. Clinton, what happened to your email server? Mrs. Clinton, how much of your charity fund has actually gone to help the poor? How much was used for personal gain by your family? Mrs. Clinton, how can you guarantee the top secret information was never compromised and hacked from your emails? Mrs. Clinton, do you stand by your story of sniper fire aimed at you in Bosnia, although video shows otherwise? Mrs. Clinton, with all of the secrecy and scandals dating back to Arkansas, do you stand by your claim of being the most transparent and honest campaign in America? Those are some of the questions that I don't think you'll get from the geniuses in the media. I'm sure when she sits down with the stooge at the New York Times, we'll get the same level of alacrity we had from Mr. Friedman that we got from Obama on the Iran deal. I'm sure he had to change a suit after that one. Had to throw out the hot Shafter and Marks after that interview. Couldn't even be cleaned. I'm sorry to get so guttural, but that's my nature. You don't like me anyway. I'm sure Friedman would throw his suit in the garbage. He couldn't even have it sanitized after that interview. Want me to get really down and dirty? I'll get down and dirty because I've had enough of these liars. I don't blame the politicians. They'll get away with what they can get away with. But you know, there used to be a thing called journalism in America. Well, that was a long time ago. But as I affectionately have said, not so affectionate really, the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. No one can beat that line. It's the best line in the history of the media. The Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. It's a Savage original, which is why people are listening, because people want an original man. They want original ideas, and they want someone bold enough to state it like it is, because we don't have time for another fraud, another phony, another coronation, not when we're facing Islamic terrorism. It's like a tsunami hanging over America about to strike us. That's what the average man sees. The tsunami of radical Islam is literally like a mountain hanging over America about to smack us down. And neither Cruz nor the other one whose name I forget, Rand Paul. I have to sing the Joe and Paul song to remember Rand Paul. We should find that old song. It was an old song in New York City when it was before my time, but I used to laugh about it on the air. Doug has it. Don't play it. They won't like it. It's an old song. It was an old time in America and in New York when there's still New Yorkers lived there before the kids moved from Cleveland and took up cigarettes and grew beards to make believe that they were hipsters living in a slum apartment for $3 million that their father bought them and pretend that they're down with the people. All right. So we have the Hillary stuff. I asked the questions. I already did Emerson. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. And Obama said a consistency. Sorry, I said his name. A consistency. Did he actually use the word hobgoblin? Did he remember the word hobgoblin correctly? Yeah, he did. He got hobgoblin. Someone wrote it. One of the idiot sorority girls, probably Marie Barf, wrote it for him. That's classic Marie Barf. It's like a real halfwit. She gets half the things right and half the things wrong. So she was like, Emerson said, Mr. President, let me write this for you. A consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. That's not even half right. But that's Marie Barf. She can't even get things half right because she's a half wit. So if you divide a half by a half, you get a quarter wit. Pope appeals to America's summit for better distribution of riches. All right, I'm raising my bid. I'll give $1.5 million for a Rembrandt. That's all. I want the Pope to sell me a Rembrandt for $1.5 million out of the Vatican vault or from one of the closets or anterooms so he can give the money to the poor. And if they only auctioned off, let's say, half their art, think of the money he can give away to the poor. How about the Vatican plane? Why doesn't he fly Alitalia? What does he need the Vatican plane for? That way, carbon footprint? All that carbon going in the air up there? Now, of course, plants need carbon, but don't tell that to the old pontiff. I don't think he understands what carbon is. Unless it's the black smoke that comes out of the chimney of the Vatican every few hundred years. Or whenever. Oh, it's white smoke, a puff of white smoke. I got that one wrong. I don't know. I don't want to talk about any of this. What else is in the news? Iran suspends pilgrim trips to Mecca amid rising tensions. Apparently beat up some Iranian pilgrims at Jeddah in March. Abuse suffered by two male Iranian pilgrims at Jeddah Airport in March. Some 500,000 Iranians visit Saudi Arabia each year for the minor Hajj, which involves pilgrims visiting Mecca and Medina, two of Islam's holiest sites. Last Friday, Saudi Arabia announced the ban on Iranian flights to the kingdom for bringing Shiite pilgrims to Mecca. That's crazy. This is just nuts, the whole thing. Here's another one for those of you who are psychotic, mainly those of you who went to college within graduating the last 5 years. All of you need to take some major therapy and get off your meds. Thousands march through snow protesting global warming. The Gore effect has struck again, this time forcing thousands of Canadian eco-activists to march through the snow over the weekend, rallying against global warming on a cold Quebec city day. I know, I'm not sophisticated enough to understand that it's the reason it's inverted, and because it's coming, you know, snow is higher because it's lower, and although it's colder and though it's warmer, and because it's extra snow, because there's less snow. When there was warmer snow, there was colder snow, and that's why we have more snow, and because of the global warming is the reason that there's snow when they're talking about global warming. Right, right. Common sense has gone out the window. An entire generation raised on medication and propaganda cannot even tell truth from fiction. If you ask the average moron marching against carbon and carbon dioxide, what a plant ingests, they couldn't answer that question. They have about the same level of, I would say the response from the average college-educated moron today about what a plant utilizes to manufacture food for itself would be about the same answer that you get from the rioters in Ferguson. I'd say they're on the same level. And you know the rioters in Ferguson didn't go probably past the sixth grade. Once the sixth grade top, they wouldn't know what carbon dioxide is. They never heard of it. They don't know. There's no carbon dioxide guns anymore, so why would carbon dioxide be in the vocabulary? In the old days, there'd be a carbon dioxide gun to make seltzer, but not in Ferguson. I don't even think they ever had seltzer in Ferguson. Okay. I think most people don't understand what I'm talking about. A lot of my references, I think, are esoteric. I think my references are too esoteric for the average, let us say, audience. It's not like I'm too smart. Actually, my references are a little off for the average person. I appeal to maybe the 0.0001%. They get most of my shtick. Then another percentage gets the 0.1%. Then the 1% get it. Then there's like 98%. All they want to hear is Democrats bad, Republicans good. And a good way to golf. The whole world's crazy. I'm one of the few people left on Earth who actually knows what's going on. See, that's the appeal of Michael Savage. I'm the calm, sane voice in a sea of ignorance and stupidity. And that's why the show is one of the few bucking the trend and growing in talk radio, by the way. It's just a fact that I have to share with you. You think I'm marginal? No one listens to me. Do so at your own risk. Even Democrats are listening because they want to know what the actual thinking opposition thinks. Incidentally, they don't want to go to Harvey Rose, whatever his name is. What's his name? Harvey Rose? Harry Rose? I don't know his name. Harry. Let's call him Harry Rose. He looks more like a Harry or a Harvey Rose to me. I hear people are taking, what is this? Someone told me the other day, this is crazy. There's a trend now in the health food stores, in Whole Foods, there's whole shelves devoted to clay now. People are eating clay. I said, what? An intelligent friend said they're eating clay now. My immediate reaction was, wait a minute, years ago I wrote a book called Healing Children Naturally, and in it I referred to a disease called pica, or a syndrome known as pica, whereas pregnant women, mainly poor pregnant women, and those in the third world who are not exposed to a full array of nutrients, eat mud in order to get minerals. They have a craving for mud. They're craving minerals out of the mud. So where did this come from that idiots are buying? I don't understand it. Why Americans are eating clay now? It took us centuries to stop being like insects and crawling in the mud. And the morons are now eating clay because they, oh, it cleanses you. What is this obsession with detoxing in America? I know the answer to this. The nation is so morally bankrupt and so dirty inside from the filth and pornography that Harvey Weinstein and company put out. The filth is overwhelming the psyche of America, so the children are going out to detox because their minds are so polluted with filth and pornography and lies, so they feel dirty, so they're detoxing. But that's a side note. That's too philosophical for you. No, you don't have to eat mud to get minerals. As a matter of fact, if you're eating mud or taking capsules with mud in it, known as, what do they call it? I forgot. They don't call it mud. Calling it something else. But they're basically selling you mud in a capsule now. And all of the hipsters now with the beards and the cigarettes, the Schmendricks, who don't know the A from B, the Obama voters, I said the name again, the Schmendricks think that by eating mud capsules, they're going to detox and purify themselves. Well, let me give you two answers to that one. Your liver and kidneys detox you, ladies and gentlemen. Your liver and kidneys do a very good job. Number two, stop eating garbage. Lay off the treif. Okay, you don't have to eat the garbage. I mean, if you stop eating the garbage, you won't need to detox so much. Number two, if you really want to detox, start by not taking in the toxins. What's this fear? Everything is poisonous. It's just soul death, that's all. America's dying from a toxic overload of pornography and political lies and dirty movies put out by Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg. I mean, how much violence and sex and filth can a country consume until the mind overloads and they start going to these absurd answers like, okay, I'll eat capsules with mud in them. What was in the mud? Then they come up with stupid answers that they get minerals from the mud. Well, you're also probably getting lead and arsenic, by the way, from the mud that you're consuming. Incidentally, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So I found I found what I was looking for, which is, I think this would be a very good campaign song for Rand Paul, and he could play it in certain neighborhoods. He might pick up more of the vote than he might with his normal campaign. Here is the Rand Paul theme song.
Joe en Paul, last door of our knieken, brabrilla Joe en Paul, dat werd je bully kriegen, brabrilla zoet, ik koud, ik giet een zolle perfect, ik vet een daftier, kuiven, door bij Joe en Paul.
That would work. That would work. It's a dead America, but it might get more votes out of them than the living America. yeah, I know. Don't get mad at me. Come on, it's radio. It's only radio. Don't get mad at me. It's only radio. What do you want me to do? Be what you are? What you would do if you're on the air? No, I'm going to be what I'm going to be. To me, it's all a joke. It's all become a joke, a gigantic clown show. Not one of these schmucks on the Republican side has mentioned Islamic threat or illegal immigration. Not one of them. What do you want to do? Jump behind them and start waving balloons? You get what you deserve in this business. They're all run by the same teams. This time they're working for Rand Paul, then they worked for this one, then they work for the other side. Maybe they all ought to eat clay to detox their brains. First it was no meat. No, I'm a vegetarian. Oh, no, I'm an ovo-lacto-vegetarian. Oh, no, I'm a paleo. I'm on a paleo diet. No meat, no dairy, no gluten, no nightshades. Now they're eating mud. They finally arrived at the perfect diet. Oh, no, I wouldn't touch that meat. How about a little cheese? No cheese. No. Bread? No. Staff of life. 5,000 years. Don't you remember the staff of life? That's what they eat in the Middle East. They can break your neck. These guys could smack you and break your neck. They eat meat. They eat dairy. They eat gluten. No nightshades either. Eggplant, Middle East. No, we don't touch that. No wonder the Islamists are on the move. They eat meat, dairy, gluten, nightshades. They don't eat mud. No, only the smart American college grads are eating mud capsules. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday.
Another manic Monday on The Savage Nation. Got the ice cream man about to announce today. We had Whitewater announced yesterday. Yeah, it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world. It's like eating clay. It's like the same fantasy. If you eat clay, you're going to be healthy. How could Hillary even run? It's like a laugh. It's like a laugh-a-thon. I mean, what nation would believe a word that this woman says? And who would she hire? How could these geniuses she's hired, these hundreds of geniuses, hundreds of millions of dollars, and come up with such a stagnant message in a time like this? Not one word about Islamofascism. Not one word about Benghazi. Not one word about a single accomplishment during a tenure as Secretary of State. Nothing. Not one word about the hundreds of millions pouring into her Clinton Foundation. Not one word on what's in the missing emails. Not one word of why did you erase your server. Nothing. And here she comes up with this saccharine message of a strong middle class America. Income inequality. Gay marriage. So I've been laughing about it, frankly. If you just joined us, I've been having a fun time, because if I start to take these people too seriously, I'm going to get depressed. If I get depressed, you'll get depressed, and you won't listen to the show. If, on the other hand, I can remain buoyant in a sea of bull, it's very hard to remain buoyant in a sea that's so dense with dirt. But nevertheless, that's our job, is to ride the waves and remain buoyant on radio and send out that buoyancy to you, and hope you're having a good time. The phone number here is 855-407-2822. If you care to comment on any of the topics I mentioned, then you're really in bad shape, because you remember them. And if you remember the things I've said, then you really must be in trouble. Such as the Pope, the hypocrite Pope, calling for income redistribution. Unbelievable to me. Astounding. Her calling for everyday Americans needing a champion. Another madness. And then we're going to have the ice cream man announcing later. Ringing the bell. Give me the bell. You got the ice cream man ringing the bell? We have some wonderful Hillary sound clips. I mean, they're too obvious to play, but I'll play them anyway. Do you remember when she glorified that Arab News Network? Well, I don't even know its name anymore, that Al Gore sold, that bill of goods. What a con man he is. How does this guy get away with this? Al Gore's father made a fortune in the coal business. Senator, did you know that Senator Gore, the father, after retiring from the U.S. Senate, went to work for Arm & Hammer and was the CEO of the Occidental Coal Company. So Al Gore grew up not with a silver spoon in his mouth, but with a piece of coal in his mouth. And now he became the champion of the green. It's many of them are the same. It's like that other creep, that billionaire liar, made his fortune in the coal business. Now he's Mr. Green, because they know the con is in. They know the big money is in the green lie. The big green lie. That's all. How does he get away with this? Nevertheless, here's some of this, the laugh track. Let's play Mommy Dearest, because every time I hear this Hillary Clinton speak, in the back of my mind, I remember this piece from the movies in Mommy Dearest.
No war! Hangers! What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
Why do I remember that sound from the movies? Whenever she speaks, no matter how saccharine and middle of the road she tries to sound, I think of her screaming about wire hangers. Remember the one about what difference does it make? Let's hear that one.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Well, with all due respect, Mrs. Clinton, I'm a member of the media, and a real member of the media, a real member of the real media here right now. I'm not one of the sycophants who's going to sit with a new suit and lick your boots And so I remember things, and I remember all the things that you didn't do and all the things you did do. And I'm not the only one. There's not a single accomplishment during your tenure as Secretary of State other than blowing up the Middle East. That should immediately have you, you know, join a nunnery. I mean, get thee to a nunnery. It's enough already. You should run away from this. It's crazy. Why do you want people talking about these things at a certain stage of your life? You want that brought up again? All right, whatever. Well, you could do this. Okay, let's go to some callers. WGDJ are the call letters. Fran, you're up in the Savage Nation. What city are you in?
I am in Albany, New York. It's WGDJ.
Albany. Yeah, I remember Albany. Albany.
Michael, what a precious gift is sincere laughter. And why I say that, I'm sitting here listening to you. I have needed a laugh for so long, and I was so genuinely and sincerely laughing. Listening to you talk about eating clay and people eating dirt capsules, and honestly...
And it is all... You see what it is? My point was, we have liars running for office, complete liars and charlatans, and you have this confused generation of young people who don't know why they feel dirty all the time. They're on weird diets, no meat, no dairy, no gluten, no nightshades. Now they're into eating mud capsules, not knowing the first thing about clay nor its side effects.
It's insane.
And it just shows you, and these are not stupid people. They don't know which way to turn.
I know. I totally agree. I absolutely agree.
They show you the choices of clay. You can get clay from China now. This is the same country that gives us poison dog sticks. The same nation that gives us poison dog food, we're going to get clay from China. Does anyone ask themselves, is the clay pure? No. But, you know, there's a trend right now. If you go into Whole Foods, there are shelves full of clay products, and people are eating them and drinking this garbage.
Pathetic. And I was just reading yesterday, as a matter of fact, an article that popped up about how some of the fanatic Muslim groups are into cannibalism and crazy.
Yeah, well, they're not eating clay. Well, human flesh has probably got more protein than clay does.
But as you're talking...
No, it's a sick nation. The nation's dying, and you could see it in the products people are buying. A nation that has a soul death, has a whole young generation that's sold on gay marriage, global warming, and now eating clay. It's unbelievable to me, but I'm glad you're enjoying the absurd mixture of elements that I'm brewing up today on the Savage Nation, because that's what it's Monday. Everyone's been on vacation. I wasn't. Where was everyone last week? The roads were empty. It was like a neutron bomb hit the Bay Area. I liked it because you go into the city at night from one of the suburbs without getting trapped in traffic, but they're all back now. All the Ritalin kids are back, and the Adderall sold out from the vacation. Poor kids. I look at the kids. I feel bad for them. Thank God I grew up before the drugs. I would have been marked for, I would have been ruined. The way I am with my nature, my high tense nature, are you kidding? They would have had me on 5 different pills before I was 4. As a result, I was able to develop into myself, much to the chagrin of many in the American political world. I don't know if I want to continue this anymore. I mean, the Hillary bashing has got its limits. I mean, just her name alone is absurd. But okay, that's what you want. Let's begin with the president saying Hillary is a friend. He doesn't really endorse her in clip 4. Let's listen to the backhanded slap in 4.
She was a formidable candidate in 2008. Mm. She was a great supporter of mine in the general election. Mm-hmm. She was an outstanding Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. She is my friend. Mm-hmm. I think she would be an excellent president. And I'm not on the ballot.
I thought he meant to say, if I'm not on the ballot. He left out one word. He left out the if. He left out the if word. She was an outstanding Secretary of State. Now, coming from him, that says it all. Let's see. She blew up the Middle East. She lied about Benghazi, so far as we know. She let people die in Benghazi, so far as we know. She erased emails that she had on a personal server for reasons only she knows. And here we have now one of the most horrible people in the history of American politics, in the history of the world. A woman filled with, the people are filled with suspicion about her. Another one who should shut her mouth and disappear while the pickings are still good. A woman who should just go off the stage, retire already, before the FBI does its investigation with the new government. Here's Dianne Feinstein on Hillary Clinton in clip 8.
I think she's a very complete person, but I think the most important thing is that what her experience has given her. You know, we have men who come here for 1 or 2 years, get a few puff pieces, and they go out and they run for president.
Right, unlike you, who've been there for 300 years, who's done everything wrong, everything shady that you could imagine. And you have a great resume, only we don't have a legitimate government, because if we did, we'd find out what you've really been doing. Unbelievable to me. Then you got to, I don't even want to play Hillary, but de Blasio didn't endorse her because he's such an outright communist that he wants her to be. See, here's the thing about Hillary that you're going to not believe. You're going to hear a weird thing coming out of me now. If this keeps up and she drops out because she realizes she doesn't have any traction, which could happen, we're liable to get a real crazy one who you'll really wish to God Hillary did run. Mark my words, if Hillary's forced out or finds out she's not gaining traction, and we get that fake Indian, Pocahontas Warren, who wants 90% taxes on people, you'll wish Hillary did run. See, this is something you don't understand. Because they only deal with billionaires, trillionaires, and despots, the Clintons, at least they understand people who make money and what they actually need to make money and keep the economy going. While a Pocahontas like Warren is so out of touch with reality, she's liable to do real damage to this country. That's an interesting statement. So that's the real story on her. But here's de Blasio, who's another crazy one on clip number 9. Listen to this one.
If you're serious, you got to be ready to tax the wealthy. You got to be ready to raise wages and benefits. You've got to be ready to have tax fairness in this country. And I think that is a chance to say, hey,
moron, turn him off. Turn that moron off. Tax fairness, you putz. I'm paying 60% of my income in taxes, you moron, you. Go ahead, raise wages and benefits and see what businesses survive, idiot. Go visit your friends in Venezuela or Cuba and tell me how your policies worked out, idiot moron. Go ahead, tax the rich till they leave the country and stop working, and raise wages and benefits till there's no one left to produce anything, moron. This is what you get, but you're liable to get more of this now as the campaign goes on. So de Blasio won't endorse Hillary. That's actually a good thing. It's a good sign that he won't endorse her. Then we have Rubio. You know, I don't like him. I mean, if he's the only choice, I'd hold my nose and vote for him. But he is so not ready for office. The guy doesn't look presidential. He has nothing. And he's a flip-flopper. In August of 2014, he was pushing immigration reform, meaning amnesty, in clip 12. Let's hear it.
I continue to believe we have to reform our immigration laws. I think that's good for the country. I wouldn't say that because of politics. But this issue is related but separate from that. This issue involves a mass migration on the border, happens to be many unaccompanied minor and children.
All right, there we go. All right, so he's finished. This will come up to haunt him. That's over with. They can whipsaw him on this one because he's for it, he's against it. When were you against immigration reform? Before you were for it, then you were after it, and then when you were not for it, it was after it, and you realize that the people didn't like it. Although you're Hispanic, you have to appease the mobs in La Raza, and because there's a mob of Hispanic voters who shouldn't even be here, they'll see, oh, and they'll vote for you, so you have to make believe you're for them, even though you're against them, and then if you appease the right wing from the left wing, because the middle wing can't fly without the left wing on the side of the right wing, but therefore I'm going to say to you today that 100%, I can guarantee you I know nothing about anything, but I'm qualified as much as Hillary Clinton is to be president.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-C-O-I-N. All right, so we got a real lackluster bill of candidates out there. So far, no one's really stood out. It's either the coronation or the would-bes. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Where's the leader? Where is the Winston Churchill that we need to save us from the tsunami of Islamofascism that is threatening to engulf the entire world? Where? I don't see it. And after 8 years, it will be with Obama, assuming he leaves office. Sorry I mentioned his name. after 8 years of this president? Don't you think we really need real leadership instead of the guy in the bumper car who's going against everybody in the bumper car track? Beginning of the show, I compared the president to a kid in the bumper car who's going backwards against all the cars coming at him, bumping into everyone and laughing and giving everyone the middle finger. Wherever you look, he's not going in circles with everyone else in the right, you know, the correct direction in the bumper car, banging into them from the side. No, he's speeding at you, coming at you in the wrong direction, bumping Israel, bumping Saudi Arabia, bumping Russia, bumping Jordan, bumping Israel, bumping the American voter, bumping white males, bumping the Tea Party, speeding at us, trying to knock us off the track and laughing at us. Don't you think after all the years of this guy in the bumper car, we deserve a real leader who doesn't take advantage and trash the White House and the office of the presidency? Don't you think we need a leader who's going to promise us not to use Air Force One as a personal jet for vacations and disguise it as a business meeting? Don't you think we need a leader who's going to say that when I'm president, my first lady will not have 75 personal assistants, and she'll not abuse everybody around her? Don't you think we need a leader who's going to get up there and say, I'm not going to have rap stars in the White House? I refuse to debase the office like that. Don't you think we need a leader who's going to tell us how he's going to restore not the American dream, but the sense of America itself? Someone who's going to say that I'm going to protect our borders, our language, and our culture. Don't you think we deserve that? Instead, we're getting this garbage. No one's saying anything about the real issues out there. And so people have given up again. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go to some of the callers. Let's go to WMAL, where I'm king on that station, with a 4.5 share, which is enormous for a day part. Steve, thanks for listening to me in Washington. What's on your mind?
Well, by the time the primary got around there, they'd already selected McCain, so either had to vote for Obama or had to vote for Hillary. And I said, well, can't vote for Hillary. She's corrupt and incompetent. So this time around, if we get a bad candidate in Republicans, I'll be able to say, well, I'll vote for Hillary because at least she's corrupt and incompetent.
You mean at least you'll know what you're getting? At least you'll know what you're getting. At least she hangs around with billionaires and she knows what money really is, as opposed to Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. It's an acquired taste. It's the equivalent of an energy drink compared to a diet soda. I mean, not everybody likes, energy drinks until they try them, then they can't do without them. And so that's what we're doing today. Where is everybody today? I don't know what's going on with are people still on vacation? I got a friend of mine here in San Francisco who's in Europe. I don't know what he's doing there. He sends me pictures of himself, like in a cafe in Paris, drinking wine, wearing a beret. It's like a parody of himself. I said, oh, so that's exciting, sitting in Paris drinking a glass of wine? It's like San Francisco with Islamists behind you. What are you doing there? Why don't you just stay here and drink wine at 6 o'clock at night? I don't get it. I have no idea why people travel other than for business or weddings or funerals. What's the other reason to travel? I don't understand it anymore. What's waiting for you when you get there? A bad bed? Bad food and anti-Americanism? Mark on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Savage. I'm just wondering here, I'm feeling very defeated as an American. I'm at a stand of your viewpoint. I'm wondering here, as you very well know better than I, that all great civilizations do come to an end at some point in time. If for America, that's the point we're coming close to, and are we fighting a losing battle?
It's an interesting question. I would say that we're not coming to an end so much as going through a metamorphosis. And what we will become is the question. And we are at a very important point. And one of the determinants of what we will become as a nation is who we choose as a leader after these horrendous years under this president that we currently have. A man who lies about everything, abuses the office, trashes the White House, alienates our allies, embraces dictators. We need a leader. And the metamorphosis that we're going through right now requires the opposite of what we have right now. The opposite. So I wouldn't say that we're coming to an end. We're changing. We're becoming something different. People don't like change to begin with, but societies always change. Or they die, frankly, Mark. So sometimes we confuse growth pangs with death pangs. I would like to believe these are growth pangs and that this country is going through a metamorphosis, as I just stated, and we will emerge actually a better nation rather than a dead nation. Does that answer your question in a way?
Yes, it does. I just have to say, with poor choices on both sides of the aisle, I don't have very much optimism.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look who they're giving us on the Republican side. Where is the bold leadership that the country so desperately needs? Where is that? That's what you're saying, right? You're agreeing with me.
I am. Absolutely. But because this is nothing new, it took in place last, 8 years ago it took place, I don't see any change in which is positive. And I don't know, I just feel pretty damn defeated, to be quite honest. And that's my point.
Okay, well, it's easy to feel that way. I mean, every day you wake up to more nightmarish stories. You hear that there's Islamists in 49 states, and they're not doing anything about them. Why are they not striking at them before they strike at us? Okay, I mean, things like that bother you. What would you say is the biggest issue on your mind? If you were to say, number one to me is, what is it, the economy or terrorism?
I would say the economy. And the injustice that's taking place throughout the country when it comes to civilians and the police departments. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I can't see straight anymore.
Well, I told you, I'm a little worried about that. Another shooting of another black man the other day, that really freaked me out. It's on my website.
Yes, and I don't know.
What was that? A sheriff's deputy now in Tulsa is tussling with a black guy, and he shoots him in the stomach and says, whoops, I thought it was my taser?
And may I say, Dr. Savage, I don't see necessarily as a black-white issue. I really see it as a poor issue. The real common denominator, in my opinion, is that all the folks who find their way that they die to hand the police happen to be poor. And I think that's the real crux of the issue. We divide ourselves when we say it's black versus the police.
Well, it's not that they're poor so much as they're the only ones who are going to be exposed to the police in that manner. You could say poor. I get it. A middle-class person probably wouldn't have a broken taillight in that regard. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. But I think that there's another element here. And I think that the element is that some of the cops... Now, let me back up, first of all, because I'm going to be attacked no matter what I say here. We need macho police. We need guys with the guts and the muscles to take down bad guys. Do we agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But what is wrong with the picture that we're having a spate of shooting deaths now? What the heck do you think is responsible for it?
I would say part of it is the opposite of what you just said, that police aren't as brave as they seem. In many of these cases where these gentlemen are shot, the cop doesn't even pursue on foot, even try to apprehend the suspect.
That's interesting what you're just saying. Well, okay, now there's another reason for that, which is the slimy lawyers.
Yeah.
The slimy lawyers have made it so bad for police that they won't engage in a scuffle for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is they're afraid they're going to be sued or lose their job. And so maybe it gets out of hand for that reason. There's another element, which is this broadcast, this wholesale view that when you're arrested, automatically you have to have your head ground into the pavement and your hands handcuffed behind your back. Why should that apply to an old lady who's not really a threat to the cop? Why do they have to do that to her? Is there no discretion involved, for example, in police procedure? Maybe there needs to be some discretion here. So you yourself see it as a war against the poor?
I do. I see it as more about a class issue rather than a race issue, in that we continue to promote the race issue because it's divide and conquer. What happens to these individuals we see on TV or on these video clips can very well happen to each and any one of us at any given time.
Now, I agree. See, that's why I'm making a point of it, at some risk to my audience, because what you see happening to people could happen to the people listening to this show. They don't know it, though. They could get into a situation on a roadside. They could wind up shot if they run away. And I don't care if they're white or black, is what you're saying.
And I've seen videos of all ethnicities in which there was, conflict with the police. And
I think the police are a little too trigger-happy right now, incidentally, and they're using too much force.
Now, that's
also a product of criminals who are stronger than they were in the past. You send some of these people to prison. They're recidivists. They go in and out. They come out muscle-bound. They're strong as three men. And the cops have trouble bringing them down, frankly. That's another factor. They're like giants. You know that.
This is true.
And then there's the other side. people are not respecting authority the way they used to. A lot of people won't comply with an order from a policeman. They won't listen to them. So there's blame on that side as well, Mark, where if an officer gives you a command, you have to follow that. I was told, I'm going to give you an example. You know, I'm from another generation, and you and I come from different worlds. We know that, but you listen to the show anyway. I was told by a friend's father that if a cop ever pulls you over, always comply with what that cop says to you. Say yes, sir. Give him the license and do what he says. Never resist arrest and don't mouth back to the cop. He is the authority. I don't think the young people know that today. Do you?
In certain cases, I agree they do not. In other cases, though, I think that there's a mixture of a position in which we are human beings, and particularly when it comes to males, we're men, and other men want to be treated with respect. And so, even though it's an authority figure, there's a level of respect that I think I deserve as a man. And
that's very interesting what you're saying. In other words, why do they have to humiliate and demean you if you're not violent?
Correct, particularly with young people, because young men are always trying to, you know, prove themselves. And so when I see the cases of young men who get challenged by the police, even though they should follow the authority, there's a gray area there of respect, I think, that kind of...
That's very interesting. People. No, I hear what you're saying. But we were told not worry about our own respect with a cop. They're the boss, they're the authority, they have the badge, they have the gun, they have the state right to shoot you, and just remember which side you're on. You don't have a gun, and you have no right to shoot them, and that's another issue now. The number of illegal guns in our society is so rampant that police are frightened that they're going to get shot. You know that as well.
Yes, and that's a real fear to have. We know that very well. Perhaps, though, as you said, with your generation, that police take it for granted that they are the authority, and now it has gone to their head over time.
Well, that's right. I was raised again. The police are the authority. Don't mouth off to them and comply with their orders. It's as simple as that. None of the kids I knew ever committed any violence. Well, some committed crimes, but they never got into trouble with the police. There were a few bad ones who did, and they got beaten up by the cops. They gave them a good beating, and they set them on their. They put them back on the right road. I'll be honest with you. It really was true. There are always people, even in my sort of lower middle class group, that were a little off the beam with regard to their behavior. And the cops knew they were troublemakers, but back in those days, even in Queens, New York, I think it was the 173rd Precinct, I don't remember, the cops were very tough, and they took no garbage from the kids. They kept them straight by giving them a good, let's say they pointed them in the right direction. let's put it to you that way, Mark. But today they can't do it. Today a stalker could come to your town, pick on a little girl and continuously stalk that little girl, and the father could call the police. The police have their hands tied. They could know he's a rapist. They could know he's out on prison. They could know he's no good, and they can't do anything to him. In the old days, that guy wouldn't have been allowed to stay in town. You know that, Mark, as well.
Very well. I think this off the air, I'd love to get your opinion on my solution to this, some of this police issue. I do believe for that all the bad cops who are involved in these precincts, that the answer to correct this is that good cops, and there are some, have to publicly out the bad cops. They need to go to their communities, whatever source, that media source they choose, and say, hey, Tom, Dick, Harry, Bob, these guys.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen because it's a band of brothers and they have a right to stick together because they're attacked by the lawyers. They're attacked by the judges. They're attacked by the media. They have no one to turn to but themselves. You have to see it from their point of view. The lawyers have destroyed the entire legal system. You know that as well as I. You know that these double talkers can take a child rapist and turn him into a victim, telling you, oh, he had a bad childhood. His father abused him. He had no self-esteem. He was molested by an uncle. So that justifies what he does? Of course not. But the lawyer would tell you that.
Right.
All right. Well, I don't think we solved the problem, but your first question was, is American civilization coming to an end? My short answer is no, it's metamorphosizing into something else. And we need a very strong, honest leader to bring us where we need to go. We're not getting it so far with Hillary Clinton or Cruz or Rand Paul or any. I don't see it yet. Do you?
No, sir.
All right. Well, I think we answered that. That's it. We're going to go in circles. We're going to go in circles. 855-472-82. That opens up a line to the Savage Nation. There was another remark over the weekend that's worth mentioning. The Pope, who's a certifiable Leninist, did do something that I agree with. He did speak out against the Armenian genocide by the Ottoman Turks, the Muslims. And that so angered the president of Turkey that they freaked out because they said there was no Armenian genocide when everyone knows there was. In fact, the Armenian genocide was the first genocide of the 20th century. 3 million Armenians were butchered, raped, slaughtered, burnt to death in churches by the Ottoman Turk Muslims. And the Pope was correct for saying it. And the Armenian Patriarch on the Pope, on the Pope's genocide remarks is this. He says, no one can expect to silence the Pope's conscience. The Pope is right on the Armenian genocide. It's a fact of reality. In fact, if you were to Google or use any Bing it rather than Google it, Bing photos of the Armenian genocide, your hair will stand up because you're not going to believe it. We've rightly heard about the genocide against the Jews. But how many of you know about the genocide against the Armenians by the Ottoman Turks? Levels of brutality you could never imagine human beings are capable of. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. You know, I got to take a digression for a minute. It's my show and it's Monday. I've done the politics as far as I want to go for now. I told you last year I was editing my journals, remember, going back to 1963. And then I stopped for about 6 months and I wrote and published Stop the Coming Civil War. And I got involved with that in the Daily Show. And I forgot about my journals, so I'm going back to them now. I have a very brief hiatus because I have Countdown to Mecca coming out in a few weeks. I'm working on a new nonfiction book for next October. I always have a chicken on the skewer that I'm working on, you know. But I'm going through my journals again. So I pick up my journal from 1974. And I'm reading about my views of America from 1974. And some of the things are worth talking about that I should talk about it maybe another time, maybe not directly now. But there's something that I found yesterday that does relate somewhat to today. Nah, it doesn't really matter. It's about dead rats. I don't think that it matters at all. It's about when I was in pharmacology and I had to kill rats to maintain my $300 a month stipend or I would be broke. And the pharmacology professor knew I didn't have any money. And he said to me, look, either you're going to kill these rats and clean their cages out or I'm going to throw you out of the department. I said, but I wouldn't have a dime. He said, I don't care. It's your problem. So I searched my soul and I quit pharmacology. I couldn't take another day of killing rats. I wouldn't do it. Because I just heard things in my head about the rats. I wouldn't kill them. And that's how I discovered the world of plants, botany. That's how I wound up wandering in another hall of the university. And I saw plants in jars. I didn't know what they were. And the professor was really nice. I went in there, knocked on a door. And he said, they're herbs and they come from islands called Samoa. I said, well, who collects them for you? He said, well, then we boil them down and look for medicines in them. I said, well, what's this science called? He said, ethnobotany. And who does it? He named a professor from Harvard. I said, okay, I want to study that. That's how I made the change. I followed my intuition. In other words, I listened to my conscience. There's no lesson in this other than listen to your conscience and follow your intuition. It often will work out. It doesn't always work out. I mean, you all have to choose a field. I understand that. But you also have to have a love for what you're doing or you're going to be unhappy your whole life. And how long can you justify the meaningless tortures of caged birds, bats, bees, dogs, chickens, mice, cats, rats, horses, cows? How long can you do that and not crack from it? And yeah, the professors will say to you, you'll get used to it after a while. And that's desirable, to get used to torturing animals. And then you'll learn to accept the fact that the conquest of human disease requires these experiments, these tortures, these deaths. No, you don't have to get used to that. And one day when I was doing all of this, the thought came to me, doing leukemia experiments with the professor. And I asked myself, can life be understood by examining death? Can health be understood by studying disease? Wouldn't it be wiser, I wrote, to study the habits of the healthy, those who survived all disease, sickness, mental depression, etc.? 1974. This is back to politics. Can we study some healthy societies? Are there any? As our role model for what kind of leadership we need? It certainly isn't Hillary Clinton or Rand Paul, is it? Or is it? It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now we're number three of The Savage Nation. Yep, it's a beautiful day out there, it really is. Most people don't know what's going on around them, nor do they care, and maybe they're right, who knows. But if you've been a quester and a thinker and a dreamer, as I have since I've been a kid, things are not really that good out there, frankly, and some of us can see beyond the material just in front of our nose. Some of us can see through the television set, in other words, right through the television set, right through the flat screen. We can see right through the flat screen. We can see right through the microphone. We can see right through all of it. And we ask ourselves, how can a nation that's come so long and so far through so much get so low a quantity of qualified individuals to run for the presidency after so many years of this individual who has taken us in so many wrong directions, right? And so I could sit here and play the Hillary clips, which I've done for a couple of hours, and you know, I could say, this is not right, that's not right. But the question is, where's the leadership? Where is it supposed to come from? It's almost as though the standards have been lowered in virtually every aspect of our society, especially the presidency, that we've come to expect nothing, and that's what we get, is less than nothing. We get less than zero. I go on and on about this, but you know the answer. So far, I haven't seen the candidate that I would get excited over, not after what we've been living through with this guy. So let me take some calls, and we'll begin in Detroit on WJR, another phenomenal one of my affiliates, thanks to Cumulus Media Networks. I have to say it because it's true. And I got to back up again. I know sometimes I get into these personal moments again because I am going through my old journals again. I don't know what motivated it. It was a long Sunday. I'd been doing other things, painting a little bit, playing with the dog a little bit, looking at the bay a little bit. You know, one of those Sundays I didn't really want to do very much. I'm exhausted from the new book. I'm wiped out from allergies. So I went back to my journals, and all of my writings going back to 1963 are about a young man in a quest not only to find who he is and what he's best at, but to achieve success. I'm not ashamed to say it, to be successful in America. I always wanted to be successful. From the time I was a poor kid, I wanted to make it in America. I wanted to have money. But more than money, and many of my friends were driven for money more than anything else. That's the way they were. It's the society we live in. I was not solely driven by money, nor am I today, because I don't even spend a lot of money. Ask people who know me. I'm not a spender. I'm not cheap. I tip very well. But I don't really buy expensive things. I don't wear a $40,000 watch. Some do. God bless them if they like it. I find watches too heavy on my wrist, for example. I do like cars, so I buy cars. I mean, I have the Dodge Hellcat. I drove it yesterday. The car's awesome. Every time I drive it, I like it. But each time I drive it, I realize I'm diminishing its value now that they don't make it. So it's like a conundrum. I got the car, and I want to drive it. But each time I put a mile on it, I know it's worth less because they don't make them anymore. So I'm not driving it. I don't travel because I don't find going anywhere that important anymore. So I look back at my journals. What I'm getting to is this. And all of my journal writing is trying to understand the world, trying to understand contemporary America, try to understand health, trying to understand disease, traveling from here to there, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, Tahiti, places you barely ever heard of, islands you don't even know exist. I've lived on these islands, and I've lived with people who were there pre-television. In fact, I have notes in my journal from 1969 when there were no telephones on some of these islands, and we had to communicate by radio telephone. We had to wait hours or days to make a phone call. Would you believe this? It seems so long ago. I was studying in Fiji looking for plants while it was still a colony. So it's amazing to me when I look back on the journals and I see a young man trying to figure out how to make it in America without, let's say, doing the wrong thing. I didn't want to kill animals to be a scientist, so I left the animal killing business and stumbled upon the plant world. That led me into another world. And I was always a writer, every step of the way. Writer, 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 writer. Always looking to write, always writing my ideas down. And some of it's garbage. You know, you look at your journals and a lot of it's really garbage. But that's what a notebook is, right? A notebook's filled with notes. So some notes don't make any sense and some are sharp. And some are worth, you know, pulling out. So let's see. I don't want to read any of it to you. I could pick the wrong thing to read. But I've come to a decision on my archives. I got to tell you about it. Actually, I didn't plan on telling it to you, but I'll tell it to you right now. It's just come up in the family. Are you ready for this? Remember I told you that a major university wanted my archives? These are recordings. I was obsessive about my radio shows back in 1994 when I began. I would have all of my shows recorded on audio cassettes. Every show I did in the early days on KSFO in San Francisco, I have a copy of it with little liner notes that I wrote. And people thought I was crazy. I was writing, I was saving the shows, keeping them, and making liner notes. My radio shows are going back to 1994, would you believe it? No one else would do it because I guess they didn't think their words were that valuable. But I always sensed that what I was saying had some value in them, just like notebooks. Not all profound, but some good. So anyway, I have audio recordings to 94. I have journals to 1963. I have photographs going back forever. I have Super 8 and 8 millimeter movies, blah, blah, blah. I have artifacts and gifts people have sent me that you wouldn't believe. Little Liberty Bells. Herb sent me his Bronze Star from his campaign with General Patton. He loved me so much. He died a number of years ago, right after I started in radio. These are beautiful things for a savage presence somewhere, right? So I had offered these to a major university. And then I hit a roadblock, and I realized that that's the wrong thing to do. Because somebody could take my journals or my tapes and cut out some things that I said, patch them together, and turn me into who I'm not. In other words, unless you show the movie of the person and you just want to show a snapshot, you don't know who they are, right? So they would take out snapshots. Look, don't you have relatives who've done some bad things in your life, but they're not bad people? So if you walk around saying, oh, she did that, then you don't talk to them anymore. But look at the whole movie of that person, right? Or the same with a human being. So my son 2 weeks ago cracked the whip on me and said, no, Dad, don't give them to a university. I want them all. My little kid, my little boy, said he's going to take them all, and he's going to turn it into a savage museum, he told me the other day. I'm telling you the truth, what he said. I said, well, who's going to go to that? He said, just leave it to me. Let me deal with it. It's not like I'm ready to die. I'm just telling you that this is where my head's going. So I got to go back to something. I'm reading the journals from 1972. And I find this, I don't remember it, I don't have it in front of me, I'll try to paraphrase it, you'll find it interesting. My kid's 2 years old at that time, so I write in the journal that I was trying to show off to my wife and son that I wasn't out of shape, because I thought I had gotten out of shape at that point. So I stood on his tricycle, his little tricycle, to show that I could still balance on a tricycle. And as I'm balancing on my son's tricycle, he pushes the tricycle backwards, thinking I wanted to go on a ride. Kids don't know. He takes the handlebars and pushes it, and I almost fall off, and I lose my balance, and I reach down with my left hand and put it on my little two-year-old's head, and take a guess what he does. He braces himself with his knee on the ground and prevents me from falling off his tricycle. And I said to myself, holy God, he always had presence of mind. You know, not every little kid would know to brace his foot. If weight comes, his father's going to fall, right? He always had the right move, this guy. Unbelievable, right? I'm not trying to sell you anything right now. I'm just telling you what's going on in my life right now, because unless, you know, I could share this with you, radio becomes rather stagnant. This is about a person. Radio is very personal. It's unlike every other medium. It's all different. This is the most personal of all medium. And anyone who's been with the show for all these 21 years, you're like a member of my family. You think you know me. I know you. I mean, people come up to me very rarely. I go out alone where you even know me. But they feel they know me because I made a connection with so many people. And that's wonderful. And it's the culmination of everything I ever dreamed about doing my entire adult life. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Radio has given me the immediacy and the connection with an audience that I was unable to feel or experience through my writing. Radio is the most profound method of communication that has ever been invented. I don't think anything will ever beat it. And that's why I'm very fortunate to have found it in my life. And it was at a rather late stage in my life, by the way. I never set out to be a broadcaster. But the minute I did, I knew that I found the right place. So here we are. It's Monday. It's Blue Monday. We have Hillary. We have Rubio about to announce. And I could care less. So that's it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Michael Savage, still on the road. That's what I am. I'm still on the road to discovery. And I hope you'll take the ride with me as long as I can continue to drive this car called the Savage Nation. So, look, the topics are pretty clear out there. It's Hillary Clinton and Rubio and this one and that one. And cluck, cluck, you know, we're all talking about it. Cuba, Iran, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that interested in it, to be honest with you. My mind is somewhere else. Because none of them are inspiring leaders. I mean, that's the fact of reality. And I'm looking for inspiration in my leadership. Why should I look up to a politician? When in our life has a politician ever been inspiring? Can you name one who's really inspired you to look at the bigger picture? Who has been the most inspiring politician that in your lifetime, I don't mean historic figures, because you can easily morph a historic figure into someone he really wasn't, unless you live with him. But in your lifetime, has anyone come along or really moved you when he spoke, who made you feel like he knew what he was doing, he wasn't a liar? At least not too bad a liar, and he wasn't too bad a crook, and that he really had the interests of the country at heart. Who actually is that? Who's in that? I don't know where they are. I don't think they're in politics. I don't know where they are. Who do you look up to altogether? Who inspires you to begin with? I'm talking to my audience. Some of you would say I do, and I could believe that I do. I am an inspiring person when I'm in the right state of mind. But aside from me, who inspires you in this world? Where do you find your inspiration? Who does it for you? Since we're not finding it in politics or politicians, who do you turn to for inspiration? I really like to know that question. I don't know if anyone could answer it, Robert. It's too late in the show today to even get a call on that, but I'll take it. 855-407-2822. If I look back, I'm going to go backwards a little bit. Who inspired me on the road that I'm on? Well, one of my inspirations was Gene Autry. Till I'm back in the saddle again. I used to play that record on my little phonograph in the Bronx. I remember winding it up by hand. Would you believe it? And it had a felt top. I could still smell the vinyl record. And I'd sit in that little living room in the Bronx. All of us lived in one apartment with one bedroom. Actually, it had one bedroom, all the people, grandmother, brought three children, whatever. And I'd play this alone with myself in the living room with the fake fireplace. And I play it over and over again, dreaming of a place I never knew existed, which was the Gene Autry version of the West, the Wild West. And then when I was older, I found Jack Kerouac and On the Road. And it was given to me by a fat kid in college. His name was Harold. He was like the nebbish of the crowd. He was the nicest guy in the whole world. Everyone, you know, mocked him behind his back. I loved the guy. 1968, fat, meek, beautiful Harold. Queens College in the fall of 1968 says to me, "Have you seen On the Road?" Well, I never stopped running since I read On the Road. And the Welsh mares that I have suffered from my whole life still goes on. Even when I'm sitting still, I'm running. Even when I'm sitting still, I'm moving. Even when I'm sleeping, my mind is moving. And it's led me in so many directions. I've abandoned home and hearth to experience endless new islands of trees, shrubs, vines, pines, you know, you name it. And so that's the answer right here. And in many ways, I've actually gone way beyond Jack Kerouac. I out-traveled him, by the way. And as I wrote in my journal then, I grew up around bums and did not have to go out and look for them. You see, he came from a family where there were no, his father didn't take him to work, where there were bums near the store. So I didn't go out looking for bums. He had to look for them. And so it's an interesting thing. He sent me on the road, and I think that I've exceeded one of my inspiring teachers in that regard. Blast, bam, it's the Savage Nation. You drove me out, you spiritual seeker. You put me on the road first. Hinted at by Bill the Bum and his soft bum wife in that dilapidated barn in Springland, New York, where those pots and pans and other kitchen stuff hung so neatly. Remember that story I wrote about? About Bill who used to eat Woodchuck Bill. Remember that? The first bohemian I ever met in the Catskill Mountains. He lived there with his wife. They were just like caretakers. They were poor white people. Like a mountain man. And the owner of this group of little cottages that they rent out in the summer gave him a barn to live in, a barn up on the hill. And they hung their pots and pans. I thought that was the way to live. I loved it. They didn't really work. I mean, they did odd jobs. They got paid in food and room and board. That was about it. Room and board is food. Maybe a little money. The kids love this man. The kids always are children are vagabonds by nature. You know that, don't you? I always loved the vagabond people. That's why I have a sort of weakness for the Bedouin people of the Middle East. They still interest me greatly. People who can survive like that. And never underestimate the Bedouin warrior, as I've written to you, as we continue on our road trying to survive against this throwback enemy of ours, this enemy that lives in the ninth century. Never forget how agile they are, and never forget how tough they are. All I can tell you is that they eat meat, they eat dairy, they eat gluten, they eat nightshades, and they don't eat mud. That's all I can tell you about them. It's a clash of civilizations, and not everything that they do is to be sneered at. And not everything that we do is to be looked at with some degree of respect. Believe me, society's a little nuts today as well. I got some great callers on who your inspirations are. And I think I'm going to take those calls when I come back, because some of them are very interesting. I'd like to hear them. And I think you're going to like to hear them. See, I went off on a little path here. And I hope you want to take the ride with me today, because I am so tired of politics that my skin is breaking out from it. It could be the bad shrimp I ate for lunch. I did it again. It was leftover food from last night at P.F. Chang's, which I swore I'd never go to again. I can't help it. I have a weakness. Certain weaknesses you can't fight, nor should you. You just give in to them. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The Leninist Pope did it again. Again, Pope Francis appeals to America's summit for better distribution of riches. In a message addressed to the president of Panama, Juan Carlos Varela, Pope Francis urged leaders attending the OAS America Summit to strengthen efforts against inequality. Now, you'll notice the message is the same as that of de Blasio, Hillary Clinton, the entire Democrat Party. They're all on the same number here. They're singing the same tune about inequality. So this is what Pope said. The Argentinian pontiff said, inequality, the unfair distribution of riches and resources, is a source of conflict and violence among peoples because it involves the progress of some to be built on the necessary sacrifice of others, and to live with dignity to have to fight against the rest, blah, blah, blah. How is it that worldwide communism is opening its jaws right in front of us, about to swallow us all? Unless you just say, you know what, why don't you begin, Mr. Pope, by selling off some of the art in the Vatican? See, that's another question no one will ask him. Okay, fine, you really believe in income inequality? Great. Why don't you sell off some of the great art in the Sistine Chapel? In fact, I'll make an offer right now of $1 million on the line for Rembrandt to show you how smart I am. $1 million on the table for Rembrandt. Yeah, probably have 1,000 of them in the vault somewhere, you know. Unbelievable. They talk out of two sides of their mouth. Income inequality. Income inequality. I work 7 days a week. I pay about 60% of my income in taxes to the bums. And I'm sick of it. They're living off me. They're sucking me dry. What do they want it to be, 120%? Who's going to produce anything? See, a guy like me keeps working because I have a work ethic and I believe in myself. And I think my message is important. But let me tell you something. If these communist bums keep this up, guys like me just stop working. There'll be nothing to eat. You'll be eating dirt. You'll be eating mud. We'll be like a third world hellhole when you tax the rich to death and they don't want to work anymore. I don't receive my income like Warren Buffett does with 33, you know, Dutch tax dodges. He always complains. Let him pay their fair share. Why doesn't he begin with himself? Obama's number one loudmouth there, Warren Buffett. Oh, yeah, right. He pays 15%. Let him pay straight-up income tax at 39%. Then he can get back to me with his lecture. Then he had California state income tax, 15% for top earners. For Jerry Brown to build fake railroads and to flood America, flood California with illegal aliens to suck us dry like locusts. You know, you talk about the drought. I want to show you what liars and thieves they are running everything. You pay attention to me because I know what I'm talking about. These liars and crooked communists tell us that the drought's about to wipe California out, okay? Okay, we have a drought. It's bad. So what's the first thing I would do? Limit population. Cut off all immigration. That was the watchword of all the leftists in the 60s. Zero population growth. Tie your tubes. Get an abortion. Just cut them off at the border. Deport them. The state can't carry. Remember the word carrying capacity in the 60s by the frauds? The left-wing frauds? Oh, carrying capacity. What a nice one that was. Another conference call. Well, the state doesn't have the carrying capacity of water, so what are you bringing in millions of illegal aliens from Mexico for? Stop it. So I put together for you today 20 questions the media has not asked Hillary. 20 questions the useless sycophants in the media will not ask Hillary. That includes the great geniuses, you know. Let's say, who's the top of the heap? Who would you say is the intellectual giant in the media? Let's see, which one? Let's pick the top five geniuses. Who are they? Here's 20 questions none of these idiots will ask her. They're stooges. They're shills. They may as well be government jesters. That's all. Every other day, they're geniuses in their own mind. I'm going to give you 20 questions the media won't ask Hillary. That's all. That's to start with. So here are 20 questions the useless media won't ask Hillary. It was burning me up over the weekend. I was listening to make her announcement. No, before I do that, let's start with her big announcement and listen to the idiocy of this woman, of why she should be president. I've never heard anything like, you know what? We don't deserve a country. If this is what she thinks is going to make her president, we don't deserve a nation. Listen to clip two.
I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead. Because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote.
What difference?
Because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
I wouldn't buy toothpaste from this woman. I wouldn't buy dental floss from her. You know, we don't deserve a nation. If she thinks we're this stupid, which obviously she does, and she thinks that's going to capture the imagination of America today, do we deserve a nation, I'm asking you? Do we deserve a nation that would let a woman like this raise $2 billion? I'll say it again. The estimates are she needs $1.5 to $2 billion to run saccharine ads like this to convince you, the idiot, that she's qualified to run the country. But, you know, there are a number of questions that need to be asked that nobody in the media, Charlie Rose, I think, right, I'm trying to think, who are the top intellectual geniuses in America? Let's see, Charlie Rose, what would he ask her? Nothing. Probably ask her who made her pantsuits. Then there's Robert Friedman, who speaks more like a slave than a freeman at the New York Times, who is nothing but a fraternity boy for the Obama administration. Sorry, I said the Obama word. I can't help it. It's happening over and over again. Consistency is not the hobgoblin of little minds. Consistency is the hobgoblin of talk show hosts. But a foolish consistency would be the hobgoblin of little talk show hosts. Better a witty fool than a foolish wit. Over the weekend, there was a real whopper of a misquote by the genius. Another, why does he pose as an intellectual giant? What is he, the smartest man on earth? At least if he was that smart, he would get his quotes right. He quoted one of my favorites, Ralph Waldo Emerson, to attack Republicans, but he got the quote half right, very much along the lines of Shakespeare's Half-Wit. Listen to this thing on Emerson.
And that has proven to be highly effective, even by the assessments of critics of the policy like the Israelis. They've said, yeah, this actually has worked. Iran's abided by the agreement. They're suggesting, why don't we just stay here? It's worked so well.
What?
Despite the fact that they had made almost the precise same argument they're making now about the final deal. But, what? You know, consistency is the hobgoblin of narrow minds.
First of all, you got the quote wrong. I'm sure you didn't take literature at Columbia, but the actual Emerson quote, of which I'm an expert, is this, Mr. President. The key word is, it's a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. That's the actual quote of Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you leave out the word foolish, well, better a witty fool than a foolish wit, as Shakespeare said. He got that one wrong. And secondly, I don't know when Israel said that the deal with Iran was good, since the Ayatollah Shmanola, he doesn't know the Ayatollah from Shinola, as far as I can tell, because the Ayatollah said that they got the best of the Americans. When did the Israelis say they loved a deal? Over the weekend we read, the enemy has conceded to our nuclear red line, says Iran. Shinola there in Iran said that the enemy, that's us, has conceded to our nuclear red lines. That's the chief Shinola there with the shoe polish rag on his head. How is it that we can have respect for theocrats who are living in the 9th century? Why are they not ridiculed in this country? Tell me why. Why? Tell me why. Tell me why. I read that Saudi Arabia has cut out people visiting Mecca. That was pretty shocking. That they don't want them traveling to Mecca. There's been a few incidents of Iranians getting beaten up by other Muslims in Saudi Arabia. And there's another couple. Who knows the reason, but they're not letting them go into Mecca. Yes, indeed. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Now, that applies to the RNC, that's for sure. Emerson would have had that one right with regard to Rebian Prisus, or whatever his name is. Just take a look at him and you know he can't run the party right. The president is like a kid. You remember the bumper cars when you were a kid? I was thinking about that driving to work today. How I used to love the bumper cars, and I haven't been on one in so many years. I love bumper cars. Unfortunately, today, with all the drugs and the illegal aliens driving on the roads, it's sort of like driving with bumper cars here in the Bay Area of San Francisco. But the president reminds me of a kid in the bumper cars who goes backwards and comes at you head on. Remember that kid? There were always kids who knew how to play the bumper car game. You all went in the same order, but you banged into each other, you cut each other off. That was understood. Those were the rules of the road. This guy is like the one who turned around and came right at you head on and goes, "Wee!" The whole world, bump Israel, bump Saudi Arabia, bump Egypt, bump the Republicans, bump the American people, bump the Tea Party, bump white males, bump cops. See it? Everywhere you turn, there he is like an out-of-control madman in the bumper car. So as promised, questions the useless media will not ask Hillary. One, Mrs. Clinton, what would you do to root out the Islamic terrorist sleeper cells in the United States, stated by the FBI to be in 49 states? Answer the question, please. Two, Mrs. Clinton, why do you want to be president? Three, Mrs. Clinton, can you name one solid accomplishment during your tenure as Secretary of State? Four, Mrs. Clinton, what were you doing the night the embassy was attacked in Benghazi? Mrs. Clinton, why did you blame a video when you knew what really happened? Mrs. Clinton, did you advise the president to send help? Why didn't he? Or was it you who said don't send help? Who was it who fired the generals after Benghazi? Who ordered the purging of our generals after Benghazi? Mrs. Clinton, can you tell the American people where the president was during the attack? Was he really in the war room? Mrs. Clinton, what files were taken from Vince Foster's office? Mrs. Clinton, what were on the emails that you refused to turn over? Mrs. Clinton, what happened to your email server? Mrs. Clinton, how much of your charity fund has actually gone to help the poor? How much was used for personal gain by your family? Mrs. Clinton, how can you guarantee the top secret information was never compromised and hacked from your emails? Mrs. Clinton, do you stand by your story of sniper fire aimed at you in Bosnia, although video shows otherwise? Mrs. Clinton, with all of the secrecy and scandals dating back to Arkansas, do you stand by your claim of being the most transparent and honest campaign in America? Those are some of the questions that I don't think you'll get from the geniuses in the media. I'm sure when she sits down with the stooge at the New York Times, we'll get the same level of alacrity we had from Mr. Friedman that we got from Obama on the Iran deal.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Iran suspends pilgrim trips to Mecca amid rising tensions. Apparently beat up some Iranian pilgrims at Jeddah in March. Abuse suffered by two male Iranian pilgrims at Jeddah Airport in March. Some 500,000 Iranians visit Saudi Arabia each year for the minor Hajj, which involves pilgrims visiting Mecca and Medina, two of Islam's holiest sites. Last Friday, Saudi Arabia announced the ban on Iranian flights to the kingdom for bringing Shiite pilgrims to Mecca. That's crazy. This is just nuts, the whole thing. Here's another one for those of you who are psychotic, mainly those of you who went to college within graduating the last 5 years. All of you need to take some major therapy and get off your meds. Thousands marched through snow protesting global warming. The Gore effect has struck again, this time forcing thousands of Canadian eco-activists to march through the snow over the weekend, rallying against global warming on a cold Quebec city day. I know, I'm not sophisticated enough to understand that it's the reason it's inverted, and because it's coming, you know, snow is higher because it's lower, and although it's colder and though it's warmer, and because it's extra snow, because there's less snow. When there was warmer snow, there was colder snow, and that's why we have more snow, and because of the global warming is the reason that there's snow when they're talking about global warming. Right, right. Common sense has gone out the window. An entire generation raised on medication and propaganda cannot even tell truth from fiction. If you ask the average moron marching against carbon and carbon dioxide, what a plant ingests, they couldn't answer that question. They have about the same level of, I would say the response from the average college-educated moron today about what a plant utilizes to manufacture food for itself would be about the same answer that you get from the rioters in Ferguson. I'd say they're on the same level. And you know the rioters in Ferguson didn't go probably past the sixth grade. Once at sixth grade top, they wouldn't know what carbon dioxide is. They never heard of it. They don't know. There's no carbon dioxide guns anymore, so why would carbon dioxide be in the vocabulary? In the old days, there'd be a carbon dioxide gun to make seltzer, but not in Ferguson. I don't even think they ever had seltzer in Ferguson. What is this? Someone told me the other day, this is crazy. There's a trend now in the health food stores. In Whole Foods, there's whole shelves devoted to clay now. People are eating clay. I said, what? An intelligent friend said they're eating clay now. My immediate reaction was, wait a minute. Years ago, I wrote a book called Healing Children Naturally. And in it, I referred to a disease called pica, or a syndrome known as pica, whereas pregnant women, mainly poor pregnant women, and those in the third world who are not exposed to a full array of nutrients, eat mud in order to get minerals. They have a craving for mud. They're craving minerals out of the mud. So where did this come from that idiots are buying? I don't understand it. Why are Americans eating clay now? It took us centuries to stop being like insects and crawling in the mud. And the morons are now eating clay because it cleanses you. What is this obsession with detoxing in America? I know the answer to this. The nation is so morally bankrupt and so dirty inside from the filth and pornography that Harvey Weinstein and company put out. The filth is overwhelming the psyche of America, so the children are going out to detox because their minds are so polluted with filth and pornography and lies, so they feel dirty, so they're detoxing. But that's a side note. That's too philosophical for you. No, you don't have to eat mud to get minerals. As a matter of fact, if you're eating mud or taking capsules with mud in it, known as, what do they call it? I forgot. They're going to call it mud. Calling it something else. But they're basically selling you mud in a capsule now. And all of the hipsters now with the beards and the cigarettes, the Schmendricks, who don't know the A from B, the Obama voters, I said the name again, the Schmendricks, think that by eating mud capsules, they're going to detox and purify themselves. Well, let me give you two answers to that one. Your liver and kidneys detox you, ladies and gentlemen. Your liver and kidneys do a very good job. Number two, stop eating garbage. Lay off the trafe. Okay, you don't have to eat the garbage. I mean, if you stop eating the garbage, you won't need a detox so much. Number two, if you really want to detox, start by not taking in the toxins. What's this fear? Everything is poisonous. It's just soul death, that's all. America's dying from it. toxic overload of pornography and political lies and dirty movies put out by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg.
Savage.